For those of you who were here last week, I said this month our theme is in Egypt. And there is nothing to do with Egypt today. But hold that thought, because we'll get there next week in part two of the story. And it's interesting how one journey leads to another. Without this first journey of the magi, of the astrologers, of the wise ones, that second journey to Egypt wouldn't happen in this story that Matthew tells us. So today we'll stick with journeys. That journey that the Magi took. And we don't hear it yet, but in part two, come back next week, we hear that this was a long journey that they took. The star arrived, supposedly, when Jesus was born. And then they started following it. So all of our pageants are wrong because they show the Magi and the shepherds showing up at the same time. And not only are they different gospel stories, but there's no way it would have been the same night because they traveled far too far. Right? So we hear in our stories that this journey took maybe a year and a half, close to 2 years, something like that. That's not just a trip to visit relatives in Kitchener or Ottawa, at least not if you're driving. That's a long journey. That's a life-changing journey. That's something significant. They were traveling because they thought this was important. And it's not just, if you think about it in the story, a journey of a year or two. Because the only reason that the astrologers, the magi, those wise ones, ended up on that journey was because of the journey of the rest of their life, their study, their learning that led to this moment of discovery. And so you could say they journeyed their whole life to that moment in Bethlehem, nowhere near a manger, but probably near a toddler, and probably not, if we imagine ourselves as those astrologers, probably not what they would have expected, who they were looking for, because our story tells us they started first with Jerusalem, the center, the place where the powerful were, and ended up next in Bethlehem. So that journey of our lives that leads us not to the place we expect, but to somewhere else, and yet is a place that is overwhelming, that moves us to adoration, to generosity, to insight, that meaning of epiphany. Journeys. And so I thought maybe today I'll tell you about my journey. Because I didn't always know that I'd be a minister. And when I was young, I was sure that I was going to be a writer. A famous world-changing one, of course. And then somewhere along the way, I thought, I'm good at school, so probably I'll become an academic. And it just sort of happened. Somehow, I was applying for grad school and taking courses and reading books for school. Actually, I've always liked journeys. I've always enjoyed traveling. And I traveled for university. I went to other places, and I didn't mind being that far from home. I knew home was there. They were there for me if I needed it. But I didn't have to be there myself. And so by this point, I was in Vancouver in grad school in English. And I thought I'd be an English professor. And I had that epiphany moment. I got an email that suggested that my program choices weren't the best ones if I actually wanted to get a good job. And it occurred to me that I wasn't sure that's why I was taking these courses. I was just taking these courses, reading these plays, because it was Shakespeare, these plays because I enjoyed it. It was fun, but not because actually this is what I wanted my life to look like. And so slowly I made the decision to leave the program. And I had no idea what I was going to do because I thought my only life skills were reading books and writing about books. And occasionally telling other people how to read books and write about books. I thought, that's all I've spent my time doing. That's all I know how to do. Maybe I'll be an editor. Because you get to read books and at least correct the books. But I wasn't sure. And I was standing on a street corner in Vancouver, waiting for a friend who was at the bank, and standing there looking up at the sky, which was clear and blue, unusual for Vancouver, and thinking, what can I do? What can I do? And I heard God. That's the way I describe. I heard inside me, not in any kind of audible way, a fully formed sentence that said, you could be a minister. And as that sentence appeared, as God spoke, as that inner source of wisdom was given voice, it felt both completely out of the blue and completely familiar. And I thought, maybe I could. And as I reflected on this later on, it occurred to me that the voice said, you could be a minister. That it was a voice of possibility, of potential. It didn't say, you must be a minister. This is the only option. But it presented this choice. And the second part of the story is then I was talking to people about how I was no longer going to be an academic. And within the next couple of weeks after this second epiphany, it was a busy month for me in terms of insight. In those couple of weeks, two different people whose opinion I valued said, have you thought about being a minister? And I said, funny you should say that, because God was talking to me the other day. And here I am, except there's all the other bits in between. So I left Vancouver, and I spent some time traveling in Canada, and I visited friends and stayed with them. And then I spent some time traveling in the UK and in Spain, because I didn't want to just jump on the next life raft. I didn't want to just say, my life is a mess. I have no idea what I'm doing. Job prospects aren't good in the 2000s, whatever you want to call them. Here's the thing. I'll do that. I wanted to know. I wanted to be sure before I spent more time doing something that wasn't the right thing. And so I spent a lot of time listening. And I was in Cardiff. And my hostel was sort of in the middle of nowhere, and day one I managed to get very lost in the suburbs of Cardiff, which was terrifying. day two, I made it downtown, which was a definite improvement. And I was walking around, and I met an older man, sort of middle-aged older, and he came up to me and he said, God was talking to me, and he said that I needed to come talk to you and tell you about Jesus. And he spent a little bit of time telling me about how God had called him to meet me and to tell me about Jesus. And it was actually a really difficult conversation, because I was standing there being like, I don't agree with your theology at all. And I don't think God talks to people and tells them to do things. That's not my understanding of God. Also, I think God's called me to be a minister, and, well, what do I do with that? What do I do with that sense of a clear sense of call, a clear sense of direction, which I attribute to the sacred? It's not just me saying, all right, here's a list of careers, here's one I might be qualified for, without falling into some kind of interventionist understanding of God who pulls strings and allows things to happen. So I talked to him for a while, and eventually he went on his way. And I continued my journey to the Iona community, which is in Scotland. And they have a couple of retreat centers on the Isle of Iona. There's an abbey and another building that they built because too many people wanted to visit. And they spend time there practicing living in community. Because what was going wrong, or not wrong, but not as well as it could be, was I was traveling along on my own, listening, which is fine. I enjoy being on my own. Silence, listening to myself, self-awareness, but it's not enough. It's not sufficient. And with a community of people to talk to, suddenly you're able to hear different things. That epiphany moment in Vancouver wouldn't have meant as much without those two friends saying, have you considered this? That sacred voice coming from the people around us. So I was able to listen there too. And that's a little bit like our journeys here, isn't it? There's all that time of preparation and study. Before the star appeared. And in fact, just so that we'd be able to see that star. And then after that time, the time spent following that star to see where it would lead, hoping it might be Jerusalem and ending up in Bethlehem instead. But that's not a bad thing, because sometimes when our expectations aren't met, something more important, something even better, something inexplicable, like a tiny child, like a community in Scotland or an evangelist in Cardiff, is there. And then that journey leads to another journey. That journey we call life, which doesn't have an end point, but which is best traveled together, sharing food along the way, learning from each other, sharing each other's burdens when they become too much to carry alone. And that's what we do together as these two congregations. Soon to become something new and unexpected, and yet still a community of people traveling together. That's why I'm so happy to be here with you. That journey I took, as roundabout as it might be, led back home for me, back to Toronto, and yet to something completely new from the life that I had before. And so, with thanksgiving and with expectation, with a little bit of anxiety and uncertainty, and yet deep joy, let us journey together. Amen.